Today's reading is from Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us, God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Amen.
I don't know about you, but I really felt the Spirit was moving here when we were singing that. And it reminded me of last night I was watching the last episode of season 3 of The Chosen, and it looked at Jesus walking on the water, and the interpretation was one that I'd never thought of before, and it was so moving. I was weeping watching it, because the disciples are in the storm. Jesus comes and walks towards them, but in this interpretation, Peter's going through a really difficult time. And he's fallen out with Jesus a little bit, because his life is, he's really struggling with life, and he sees Jesus healing all these people, and he's thinking, what about me? What about me? I'm with you all the time. What about me? And then he sees Jesus coming, walking towards him, and he wants to go to Jesus because he realizes that Jesus is all he needs, and he just wants to be with him. So there's no ego, or there's nothing which I'd always thought, you know, I want to walk on water like Jesus. It was, he was so desperate to go to him. And the disciples are saying, no, Peter, you know, you're going to sink. And it was that desire to go to Jesus. And he's walking towards him, and he just wants to be with him, and his arms are outstretched. It was so beautiful. And then he takes his eyes off Jesus, and he starts to sink, and then you see this hand going down and pulling him, and he just holds him. Oh, it was so beautiful. He just holds him, and he says, don't let me go. Don't let me go. Don't let me go. And then Jesus just holds him, and they stand together, and he prays for him. And he's like a child being embraced by his father, and he's just holding him. And it was just beautiful, and that's what came to mind as we sang that beautiful, beautiful song together. And I just want to pray before I bring God's word to you, if that's okay, because it's really important to me that this isn't about me, it's about what God wants to say to you. So Father, I just pray that this morning, that the words that you've put on my heart are for somebody today. I pray they might be words of comfort or encouragement. They might strengthen them. But I just pray that you would use me, for I am your servant. I am yours, Lord, and you are mine. So use me. Use my words for your beloved who are gathered here today. Amen. So as I was preparing, I love this psalm. It's fantastic, isn't it? And as I was preparing, I remembered the beginning of my walk. I'd just started my training for the ministry. Friend, Foster, it seems to only work when I'm like that, Tony. So I was staying at my friend's house on the Wirral. And I woke up in the middle of the night, and I was really troubled. I was struggling. I really struggled when I went to train to be a minister, because I just thought I was rubbish. You know, everybody else knew the Bible backwards. And They knew all the answers, and I was just sitting there, and I was like a newbie Christian, and all I knew was that Jesus had called me, and that was it, and I was there for him. But every weekend I'd come back and say to Pete and Polly, I don't understand what they're talking. It was so hard for me. You know, it was really difficult. And I was struggling with that. And I was staying at my friend's house, who was also training. And she was like a walking Doc Cotton. You know, any piece of scripture, she would know where it was, chapter and verse, quote it for you. She was fantastic. And I woke up in the middle of the night, and this shows you what a newbie Christian I was. All I could hear were the words, be still and know that I am God. Over and over and over again, that were going round and round in my head. And they really soothed me. But I didn't know till the next morning when we were having our breakfast. She said, well, that's from a psalm from the Bible. It really soothed me, because at that time I didn't feel close to God, because I couldn't understand why he'd sent me to train for the ministry, because I thought I was so ill-equipped. And I think the disciples often feel like that. You see that in The Chosen very much, how they feel they're not equipped. And yet Jesus calls them and he gives them a ministry. And I just want to encourage you that, you know, every member of this church has a ministry. We've all got different ministries, but we all have a ministry. We just need to be open and ask God to show us what that is. And it's my biggest joy. My biggest joy is serving God. And I can't tell you how horrible it was when I was laid up for all that time and I couldn't serve him. And I can't tell you how happy I am that I can serve you here at GBC. So that's nothing to do with what I'm saying, but I just wanted to encourage you. God wanted me to say it, so I've said it. But that night, you know, in my head, the mountains were shaking and the oceans were roaring, and I couldn't understand, you know, why have you called me to do this? Because I'm so rubbish at it. I felt I was adrift. I couldn't see a lighthouse bringing me home. And then I heard those words in my head. God spoke them into my head and my heart, and I was soothed. And over the years, I've learned that there will be other seasons similar to that. Different circumstances, but the same feelings. There will be times in our walks where we cry out to God, and where we might feel there's just silence. We're just being met with silence. We feel abandoned. You know, I know what it's like to feel in exile, to feel like I'm in that cave on my own. And there are times when we go through those seasons. But I've learned that that silence was actually just what I needed. Because it's that silence that allows us to hear God's voice. Because I don't know about you, but I have, a voice in my head, a little conversation reel going on and on and on. And sometimes it's our own thoughts, it's our own feelings that are raging in our heads. It's those that are screaming at us. It's those that we can't lay down. And it's that noise that we make that stop us from hearing that beautiful, still, small voice of calm. Because in my experience, when I hear God, it just brings you calm and peace. It's quiet. You can just hear him, sense him, feel him. It's within you. And I know that having lived through difficult times, it's in those times that we need to remember this scripture. Be still. Be still. And know that I am God. I'm God. I can do anything and everything in my time, in my timing, just at the right time. I recently read this, I think I've shared with you before. I love it when things pop up on Instagram and they really encourage me, and I send them to people and pop them on the post, hope that people might think I've written it, but I haven't. And it says this: your ministry is found where you have been broken. Your testimony is found where you've been restored. Sharing your testimony of how you have come through these seasons, where you've lived and you've found truth in your experience, is so important, because it's giving glory to God and it's encouraging others. It's so important that we share our testimonies. My mate Karen at the back, she's always having godly moments, and she loves sharing them because they encourage us. When we hear that God's done something, even something really small, it encourages people. It's the miracles that we believe in that will happen, that Pete was talking about. One of my heroes is a pastor called Nadia Boltz-Weber. And I'll never forget that she said, we went to hear her speak, and she said, we must always preach from our scars and not our wounds. And I've tried to do that in my ministry. I've tried to preach from my scars, not the wounds. Because my hope and prayer is that by doing that, it will encourage others. And it will remind them that through God, all things are possible. I've got quite a few scars on my leg now, but I'm quite proud of them. I used to tell people that I'd been bitten by a crocodile, but they didn't believe me. So now I can say, you know, those scars show that they thought I wouldn't walk without sticks and aids. And here I am. I'm a bit wobbly, but I'm walking. I love C.S. Lewis. Have you heard of C.S. Lewis? He wrote all those beautiful books for children, the Narnia, but he also wrote some cracking books about his Christian faith and about the Christian faith. And he had a terrible time because he found the love of his life. She was called Joy, and they loved each other so much. And then she died of cancer after 4 years. And they were so much in love, and it absolutely broke him when she died. And he just plunged into this deep depression. He was in this dark, dark place. And he started writing journals to sort of exercise that deep sadness that he was going through. And they were later published, and they were called A Grief Observed. So you can get them and you can read them. And he wrote this. He said, where is God? When you are happy, when you are so happy that you have no sense of needing him, so happy that you are tempted to feel his claims upon you as an interruption. If you remember yourself and you turn to him with gratitude and praise, you will be, or so it feels, welcomed with open arms. But to go to him when your need is desperate, when all help is vain, what do you find then? A door slammed in your face? A sound of bolting and double bolting on the inside. And after that, silence. You may as well turn away. The longer you wait, the more emphatic the silence will become. What can this mean? Why is God so present a commander in our time of prosperity and so very absent a help in times of trouble? They are incredibly harsh words, aren't they? But they're harsh words that come from a very deep wound. A wound of despair. Wounds born of desperate and deep pain. And when people have said to me in the past, you know, they've said, why is God not with him? Why is he not helping me? I always say to them, do you know what? God's got broad shoulders. It's okay. He knows what you're going through. He lost his son. He's got broad shoulders. Just remember that he loves you. And when Lewis cries out for this reassurance, when he heard nothing but silence, when he needed God most, when he felt he'd abandoned him, when he couldn't hear the voice, he realized that it was those voices in his head that were loud. They were stopping him. The earth was changing, the mountains were shaking, the sea was roaring, mountains were trembling, and that's how he felt. And because of that, he couldn't hear God's voice. Because although he felt God was silent, God wasn't silent. He had the noises in his head. And perhaps you know that feeling. Perhaps you know that feeling today. Perhaps this word is for you. But I want to encourage you. Hold on to the words of assurance in the psalm that we've just heard. When you travel through these valleys of life, God is with us. We have nothing to fear. Even when we feel everything is crumbling, he's there. I'm preaching through my wounds, through my scars. He's there. He is there. I know that to be the truth. He's waiting. He's ready to lift us, or carry us, or heal us, or lead us, or hold our hands and walk beside us. That is an amazing battle cry when we go through those shadow times. And I've said before, I believe in having battle cries. When fear is all-consuming, or when grief is deep or heavy and painful, a battle cry from the words of God will carry us through the greatest storms. When we feel crushed by the weight of our pain, or deafened by the words in our mind, or blind to the answers in front of us, that is when we want our battle cry. Because that will stop us from carefully constructing doors. It'll stop us from banging in those nails, turning keys in locks, whatever the cause of this heart-wrenching grief. We can become so easily lost. We can build the prison, and it's built with blocks of pain and isolation and loss and hurt. And it's in these seasons where it's actually us that close the door. It's actually us that imprisons ourselves. Because when we're lost, sometimes we can't see. We can't seek comfort. We can't hear encouragement from our loved ones. We haven't the energy or the will to lift our heads. And this scripture tells us what to do. What to do when we feel our cries are going unheard. What to do when we feel God's ignoring us. What to do when everyone else is having their prayers answered and we're not. What to do when we think God's silent. C.S. Lewis says, I've gradually been coming to feel that the door is no longer shut or bolted. Was it my own frantic need that actually slammed it in my face? The time when nothing at all in your soul except a cry for help may be just the time when God can't give it. You're like the drowning man who can't be helped because he clutches and grabs. Perhaps your own reiterated cries deafen you to the voice that you hope to hear. Perhaps your own reiterated cries deafen you to the voice you hope to hear. A drowning man who's flailing around in the water, can't be helped until they're still, and then they can be saved. A drowning person who's crying out can't hear God until they are silent. So when we are burdened by troubles, when we're weighed down by grief and anxiety and our inner voices, we make the noise that drowns God out. And we can't hear, and we don't recognize his voice because of all those deafening conversations we're having with ourselves in our heads. God speaks to us in so many ways, and I'm sure you've all experienced them. It could be a phone call and a word from a friend. It could be going for a walk and seeing something beautiful. It could be a lovely piece of music. It could be a work of art or a poem. But they speak to the still small voice within us. And God's still small voice connects within. And when it connects, it reminds us he is present. He is there. He'll always be present. He promises that. We just have to be still. We have to open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts. And it's hard when we're going through the valleys. I know it is. I know it's really hard to be still when we're going through the storms of life. And I know that it's easy when the sun's shining. But it's in those dark times, those moments of darkness and pain in the night that we need to wake up and remember, be still, for I am God. When the concentration camp in Auschwitz was liberated by the troops at the end of the war, these words were written in the compound. I believe in the sun, even when it's not shining. I believe in love, even when I'm alone. And I believe in God, even when I feel he is silent. Can you imagine that in that place of such immense suffering, the woman or man who wrote these words had held on to their faith in God, even when it must have felt that it disappeared? And not only did they hold on to their faith, but they were brave enough and bold enough to write those words to encourage others. Because they knew that holding on to their faith in the midst of grief and despair can lead us to that place of quiet, that place of peace, where you can hear God's still small voice. I just want to read some of the words from the psalm again. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help the city when the morning comes. The morning will come. And when it does, God will be faithful. This beautiful psalm ends with the words, be still and know that I am God. And that night, so long ago, when those words centered me and gave me peace, they were like the cool waters. They killed the raging fires within. It brought me stillness. And God had me just where he needed me to be, to hear him. Nobody ever said that this walk would be easy. Nobody said it would be free from suffering. In fact, Jesus said, the way is narrow. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. But friends, remember who we follow. We follow those who we trust. We follow people who know the way. Those who carry a light to guide us through dark places. We follow Jesus. We know that there is a plan in the midst of all these times. That God is in control, even when we don't see it. And there will be times when God feels distant. And there will be times of pain, and there will be times of hardship. And sometimes waters will roar in our ears, and mountains will shake. And there will be times when we feel that our lives have been broken into small pieces. But just remember this. God uses our brokenness to restore us, to make us into the men and women that he wants us to be. Remember that God uses broken things, because it takes broken soil to produce a crop, and it takes broken clouds to give us rain, and it gives us broken grain to give us bread, and broken bread to give us strength. And it's a broken alabaster box that gives forth perfume. And it was our broken Jesus who gave us life. God promises that he will make all things work for good for those who love him. And I remember times when it felt like it was impossible to lift my head or look somebody in the eye. I've remembered times when the thunder's been roaring. But I just had faith of a mustard seed. And that's all we need. Because in that moment, that grain of faith can be enough. Just enough to remember who God is and to hear his voice. And as hard as it is, we sometimes need to just wait and behold the works of God, to remember what he has done and what he surely will do. And when it's difficult, we should always remember to pray hardest. When it's hardest, to pray. I'm going to finish with a story. Pete loves this story. And it's an old Norwegian folk story. And it's about a fisherman and his two sons, and they go out fishing. And the catch was really good. But then suddenly, there's this terrible, terrible storm, and they can't see the shoreline. And they're really frightened, because there's lots of rocks, and they're frightened that the boat is going to end up on the rocks. And then suddenly, they see something. Now, back at home, a fire broke out in the fisherman's cottage. And before it was extinguished, this fire came alight and it burnt everything that they possessed. Absolutely everything. They lost everything. The father and the sons eventually get their boat safely to shore. And there is his wife waiting for him on the shoreline. And she says, "A fire has destroyed everything that we have. We have nothing left." And her husband looked at her and smiled. And she said, "Didn't you hear me? We've lost everything." And her husband said, "Yes, I heard you. A few hours ago, we were lost at sea. I thought that my sons and I were going to perish and die. And then something happened. I saw a light in the distance. And it grew larger and larger. And we turned our boat towards the light. And that blaze that destroyed our home was the light that saved our lives." You see, friends, sometimes it takes a crisis in our lives to bring us into contact with God. And it's in this turmoil that we must be still and listen to him and remember that we haven't read the end of the book. Only God knows how the story will end. And only God knows that blazing fires don't destroy us. They bring us home. Amen.